John chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14 this morning. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were, which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. We're going to stop there. So, we can see some really good words that our Lord and Savior is speaking to His disciples and His apostles here. And in the first five verses, He's kind of just talking to them. And we can see in verse 6, He says that He's speaking a parable unto them. So now, a parable is something that it's of an earthly event that teaches us a spiritual lesson. And He starts out and He says, verily, verily. Now that word verily is translated into mean truly. So Jesus is wanting us to pay attention because Brother Roger just doesn't say it once. He says it twice. It's truly, truly, I say unto you. And He goes that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So we need to watch out. You know, when Jesus sits and he tells us, you know, he says, there's only one way, isn't there? He says, what does Jesus say? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There's only one way. And so that if you don't enter the sheepfold through him, because as he goes down into verse 7, we're going to get into this a little bit deeper, you know, and he says, what does he say? You know, I say unto you, I am the door. I am the door. So if you're not going to enter in by the door, you can't enter in any other way. And he says, but climbeth up some other way. The way is a thief and a robber. So we have to watch out. And he goes into verse 6, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And amen to that we have the shepherd that is there. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And I like what it says in verse 3. And it says, and the sheep what? The sheep hear his voice. You know, Bill, how many times in the four Gospels does Jesus say, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, we would sit there and think, Brother Roger, that's a kind of a strange statement to make. Well, I can see. I can see the thing. I can hear these things, but we're seeing things with a spiritual eye, and we're hearing things with a spiritual ear, and that's what it is, you know. And the sheep hear his voice, and isn't it wonderful when you can hear the voice of Jesus Christ? And I believe that Jesus Christ speaks to us, and I think sometimes, Roger, it's an actual voice that he speaks to us and talks to us. And I know there's been times where I've sat there and I've woke up in the middle of the night and thought someone's talking to me. And so it's just, we need to, He talks to us through the reading of the Word. He talks to us through the preaching of the Word. He speaks to us. He speaks to us, and He speaks right to our heart. But I like in verse 3 what He says, "And He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out." He calls His sheep by name. We were just talking about what is the one thing that happened before the foundation of the world. The one thing that happened is He wrote our names. I like what the Scripture says. He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, when you think over 3,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, whatever it is, Brother Roger, that's inconsequential to me. We know that it happened before the foundation of the world. We know that this earth is not billions and billions of years old. But at that time, before the foundation of the world, He sat down and He seen each and every blood-bought child of God. And He wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I don't know how He wrote them in there, Brother Roger, as well. What time you were going to come forth to be a child, what time you were going to hear His voice and come forth and acknowledge Him and make a public profession of your faith. I don't know any way. I don't know how He wrote Him in there. And again, I'm not so concerned about how He wrote Him in there, but that He did write Him in there. And that we can know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, there's something, I've probably read this quite a few times, this scripture here, but I want to look at the end of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4. And He says, you know what, and He calls His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And then in verse 4 He says, "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." See, He leads us out. He goes before us. You know, He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's there. You've heard me say many a time, you know, we got these bumper stickers that say, "God is my co-pilot." I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I want Him to be my pilot. And this is proof that God and Jesus Christ are our pilots because He goes before us and He leads us. He's in control. He's in control. He's the one that's in control of everything. He goes before us, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. I like in verse 5. You know, when we read the Bible, I was just telling my wife I wanted to say something, and now I just remember what I wanted to say. You know, when we read the Bible and we study out the Bible, just something came into my mind. Do we listen to the Bible, Brother Roger? Do we listen? Do we listen? And I'm going to say, because this is when we need to listen, you know, and a stranger, what does it say, Brother Roger? They might not, sometimes they will. No, and a stranger will they not follow. So we need to listen. You know, if you're a child of God and you're rooted and grounded in the truth, and we need to exercise our minds spiritually so that we can be strong spiritually, because we get people come in and they try to bring in false teaching into the churches. And as we were talking before, that there is some false teaching that's going on in some of our Primitive Baptist churches today. And a stranger will they not follow. And these people are bringing forth a strange gospel, a different gospel. A different gospel, Brother Roger, that's in this book right here. Because some of these things are trying to teach with this conditional time salvation, other things, are not in here anywhere. They can't go in here. They can try, but they can't. They cannot prove what they believe in through the Scriptures. And a stranger will they not follow. But look at what it says. But they will flee from him. We need to flee from these false teachers, this false preaching that's in the world today. We need to flee from this stuff. For they know not the voice of strangers. Now we see in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, and he starts out again, verily, verily. So he's wanting to listen. He wanted to listen to the first time, but they didn't understand it all the way. But now he says that truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now we know that sometimes when you read the Gospels, you know, sometimes the apostles sit there and say, okay, now you're speaking plainly unto us, don't they, Roger? They say, well, now we understand, can you speak unto us plain? So now he's speaking unto them plain. He says, you know what? I'm saying unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know, he's talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He's talking about these. Because remember, if you read the Gospels, he says, you know, the people looked at them and said, wow, Jesus was teaching and showing them as he was doing it with authority. Authority. Because he did have the authority, because he was God incarnate in the flesh. And all of these scribes and Pharisees were just false teachers, thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them or listen unto them. In verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. As we see this, you know, if we enter in, we shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. But what I really like to look at today is I want to go down into verse 11. And he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And if you look down into verse 14, it says, you know what? I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. You know, in the book of Matthew, it says that she shall bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save what? His people from their sins. So you know that a shepherd is someone who tends for, he feeds, and he what? He guards and takes care of the sheep. Now, isn't that what Jesus does for each and every one of us? He tends for us. And how does he tend for us? You know, he's up right now at this very moment. The Bible explains to us that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father and he's making intercession for each and every blood-bought child of God. And he feeds us, doesn't he? He feeds us. If you read in Matthew chapter 6 where it talks about the Lord's Prayer, we can see how he takes care of the birds of the air. He takes care of this. He takes care of that. Shall he not take care of thee? What does he say? Oh, ye of little faith. He does take care of us. He watches over us. He gives us each and every day our daily bread. And that we know and understand that encompasses a lot of things. He does give us the physical food that we need, the spiritual food that we need, the things that to take care of each and every one of us. And he guards and he watches over us. You know, at the end of the book of Matthew says, and we quoted it earlier, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that amazing? When we see he's going to never leave us, he's never going to forsake us, he's never going to turn his back upon us. And we can trust in him. We can trust in the words that Jesus speaks to each and every one of us. So one of the things that I wanted us to look at as we see this, that, you know, this is not the Apostle Paul writing. This is not Peter, James, or John, or any of those others that have written in the New Testament. This is Jesus Christ actually speaking these words here. And I want us to, I underlined a few words where he says, I. You know, I am, and that's why I, and then the Good Shepherd. Now, I want us to understand, is the. He is what? He is the only Good Shepherd. And I like when he says, I am. We can see there's three times in these few verses here where he says, in verse 9, he says, you know what? I am the door. And in verse 11, he says, I am the Good Shepherd. And in verse 14, he says again, I am the Good Shepherd. Now, I believe from reading through the Scriptures that when Jesus Christ says it once, I know he wants us to pay attention, especially when he's speaking this, but when he starts saying things twice in such a short amount of time, that when he's speaking unto us, he really wants us to pay attention to this. So he says, you know what? I am the Good Shepherd. We've seen what a shepherd does. And we know that if you look in the dictionary, it gives you all these definitions of it. But, you know, it should sit there and say, Jesus Christ underneath it, Roger. Because he is the ultimate shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd. And I just can't help but think when he's in here and he's saying, I am, that it always reminds me of Moses when he was on the mountain by the burning bush. And he says, well, who do I tell Israel has sent me? And what does he say? He says, I am. He says, tell them that the great I am has sent you unto them. So we can see that this just continues on with Jesus Christ. And he sits there and he says, I am. I am. And yes, he is, isn't he? There is, like the Bible says, you know, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. So we can see that Jesus is the only, he is the true and only Good Shepherd. Just as God was the only true and living God, we see that Jesus is the true and the only Good Shepherd. Because we can see, if we look at some of these verses after this, and in verse 12 it says, but he that is an hireling. So this is somebody that is not an owner of the sheep, Brother Roger. He's an hireling. He was hired to kind of take care of the sheep. So if we look at that and we can take that a little bit further and we can say that, you know what? He does not have a what? A vested interest in the sheep because he's only hired. He's only hired. So he doesn't have a vested interest in these sheep. Because look what he says. He is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. When he seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. Because why is that? Why does he leave the sheep and flee? One, he doesn't have a vested interest. And what else, Sue? He's only looking out for himself. He's going to save himself. He sees that wolf coming. I'm getting out of here. I didn't sign up for this, did I? You've heard that people say, I didn't sign up for this. Well, he's like saying, I didn't sign up for this. I want to get out of here. He says, I'm not going to be in part of this trouble or anything like that. And we can see so much in the world today that people don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved with that. But what if Jesus would sit there and say with our lives, I don't want to get involved with that. But he doesn't say that, does he? Because Jesus has a vested interest in us. He's a vested in us. And instead of saying whose own the sheep are not, whose own the sheep are, we are Jesus Christ. We have been given unto Him. So He's not going to leave the sheep. When things come upon us, when Satan attacks us, you know, that's when Jesus Christ is right there so that Satan doesn't scatter his sheep. He's there to help us, to watch over us, to keep us strong in Jesus Christ. What an awesome Savior we have. I know we have an awesome God. We have such an awesome Savior. Jesus is entrusted with the care of all of His sheep. And we can see that here it's not. If we look back into John in chapter 6, in verse 37, you know, Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Isn't that awesome? That, you know what? The Father has given us unto Jesus Christ. And him that cometh to me, we know that's all about. We've come to him. When we hear that still small voice speaking to us, and we come unto him, what does he say? You know what? I will in no wise cast him out. Because he cares for his sheep. He cares for his sheep. The care of all of us have been entrusted to him by his Father because his Father gives us to him. To him. And he takes this very seriously. Jesus takes this very seriously. We can see the words that he's speaking to us in here, and even in his four Gospels, that he takes this very seriously. Because, you know, he went through a lot of ridicule in his short ministry. He wasn't very long when he finally came in and started his ministry, Brother Roger, until the time that he was crucified. It wasn't really very long that he was doing this. And you can see by reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that he took this very seriously. And he took it so seriously that he gave his life for his sheep, didn't he? He gave the ultimate sacrifice, didn't he? He sacrificed himself for the sheep. For the sheep. You know, we know there's hirelings, but we do know that, I believe that Jesus appoints under-shepherds. I believe that's who we are, Brother Roger. And he appoints under-shepherds to take care of his sheep. And that's what's been entrusted to Brother Roger, Brother Leroy, and myself is the care of the flock. And turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So I want to concentrate on that back because we can see that he did give some apostles, didn't he? He had his 12 apostles. And he gave some prophets. We can see in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, there were prophets. And he gave some evangelists. Some people call Paul an evangelist because he went out and he evangelized. And then we get to the very end of this verse and he says, "and some pastors and teachers." And I think that's what he's given into the world today. He's given the church pastors and teachers. And what are we supposed to be doing? He says this is for the perfecting, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is who? Those are the sheep that he's talking about. So we're pastors and teachers. We're under shepherds to edify and build up the body of Christ. We're not supposed to be tearing down. We're not supposed to be bringing error into the church. We're supposed to be preaching and speaking the truth. And that I think is, if we go into Ephesians chapter 6, that we all need to be doing this. Not just you, but me also. I need to be praying for Brother Leroy and Brother Roger, and praying with all prayer and supplication to the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Each and every one of us need to be praying for our pastors, that they would be able to, that words would be given unto them. Like he says, that utterance may be given unto them, that they may open their mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel to all of us, and it's for which they are an ambassador in bonds, that therein they may speak boldly as they ought to speak. And I know I'm changing a few words in there, but I want that. This is what one of our prayers should be every day, Brother Roger. We need to be praying for those that are in authority over us. Jesus tells us, Paul, all of these, they exhort us to pray for those that are in authority over us. And that's the pastors of the church. We should be praying for them. And we should be thankful. Notice in verse 11 in chapter 4 of Ephesians what he says. You know what? And he gave some. I like that, Brother Roger. He gave some. Because we do know, as he's talking about back in John chapter 10, that we have false teachers. We have false preachers that come into the world. And I'm glad the way it is with Primitive Baptists. We don't have no seminaries or anything like that. That we get a little piece of paper that says that it's okay to speak unto the church. You all here are the ones that have given Brother Roger, Brother Leroy, and myself the authority to speak unto you. So we need to be thankful for the words in the Bible. Again, we need to listen to what's in the Bible. And when we look at this and he says, you know what, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When we look at these things, we can see. And one of the things that we understand is, from the Scripture, is God is in control. If there's anything we learn from Genesis through Revelation, I don't care where it is. You go to Genesis, you go to Revelations, and anywhere in between there, who's in control? Who's in control through all of these chapters in the Bible? God is in control. God is in control. I guess I should have told you to keep your finger in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And what we just read a little bit ago from Brother Jerry Hunt, Sr., in verses 4 and 5, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to what? The good pleasure of His will. What does that mean? God is in control. God is in control. If we look, I want to read verses 10 and 11. That in the dispensation, or in the plan of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh. What is that next word, Brother Roger? All. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. What does that tell us? Who's in control? God's in control. God's in control. That's why, you know, Jesus says, and He says that, you know what, all that the Father giveth to me and all that come unto me, what does He say? You know, I will lose not one. He's not going to cast any out. He says, you know what, I'm not going to lose. That's when the next story I'm going to go. He's not going to lose one. Why? Because God's in control. That's why He's not going to lose a single one. There are so many things in this book of John. Turn back again to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we're going to read verses, I guess let's read verse 37, 38, and 39. We read 37 earlier. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and to him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Isn't that amazing when we look at that? What is it, Sue? Who? God's in control. God is in control. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Wow. You know, in verse 38, he says, you know what? I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. Let's say, he says, it's not my will, but thy will be done. And he says, you know what? But the will of him that sent me. God is in control. That's why we hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus is going before us and we follow him. As I was reading this and studying it out and everything, it just brought so many things to my mind. Turn into chapter 10 of John. Just turn back. We're going to read verses 27 through 30. You know, let's read verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You know, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any, I'm not going to say man, because that man's in parentheses wasn't in the original, they kind of added that, and neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. All of a sudden, they took up stones because they wanted to stone him. And Jesus said, you know what? Many good works have I showed you of my Father. For which of them do you stone me? And they said, not because of a good work, because you're a man, makest thyself God. But what was he? He was God incarnate in the flesh. And we talked about how blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. We could see that what? That he was God incarnate in the flesh. My sheep hear my voice. And I like this next area. It says, and I know them. I know them. He knows us. He knows each and every one of us. He is intimately acquainted with each and every one of us. And in verse 28, and I give unto them